Welcome to Bedtime Fairy Fails. I'm Kim. This story was made possible in part by the live play D&D podcast, All D20. We'll tell you a little more about them after the show. Comes from Jared in Australia. This is a story about taking risks. Sometimes the safe solution is just boring, and you need to spice it up with some unnecessary danger. This is
Bad Axe Barbarian.
Once upon a time, a brand new group of heroes were just finishing up their very first dungeon. They had beaten some bad guys, looted a bunch of treasure, and even solved a puzzle or two. And most importantly, our heroes had successfully retrieved the key that opens the gates to hell. Well, one of the keys. Okay, a piece of one of the keys. But either way, it's still a win. So our heroes were feeling pretty great about themselves at this point, and were ready to get back to their town so songs could be written about them. Let's meet our triumphant heroes. First, we have a dragonborn fighter named Torin, a tiefling bard named Crowry, Lutz the human druid, and finally, the man of the hour, Ronan the half-orc barbarian. As our heroes walk through the dark tunnels, they're looking for anything that looks like it might be a way out. I mean, they probably could have traveled all the way back to the beginning, but that would be a long walk. And if video games have taught us anything, it's that there's always a conveniently located exit-only door somewhere at the end of every dungeon. Eventually, they come across a corridor that looks like it could be the way out. But before they charge full speed out the door, Lutz holds up his hand and says,
"Wait! Look right there! You see it?"
The other heroes look at the spot Lutz is pointing to, but don't notice anything out of the ordinary.
"What are we looking for?"
asks Crowry. Lutz steps forward a bit and points out a barely noticeable pressure plate in the floor.
"Okay, but what does it do?"
asks Crowry again. Lutz points up to the ceiling and says,
"Probably that."
Everyone looks up to see two giant, sharp, heavy axes fixed to the ceiling. If someone were to step on this pressure plate, the axes would swing down in a scissor motion, instantly killing the person unfortunate enough to be standing there. Luckily, Lutz had spotted it, and they could all now take turns jumping over it.
"Wait,"
says Ronan.
"I have an idea."
The rest of the party holds back a groan. You see, Ronan is immensely strong, but when it comes to intelligence, well, he isn't the sharpest axe in the armory. So the other two heroes are preparing themselves for another one of Ronan's less than amazing ideas.
"I'll go stand on floor trap, and when axes fall, I'll catch them. Then everyone else can walk through safely,"
says Ronan proudly.
"Are you sure that's a good idea?"
asks Crowry skeptically.
"Yeah, if you miss, you're dead,"
agrees Lutz.
"Then I won't miss. I'm very strong, you know."
"Yeah, but there's more to this than just strength, Ronan. This is going to be difficult, and if you mess up, you're dead. You understand that, right?"
"Yep, easy peasy."
But Lutz was right. This was not going to be easy peasy. Ronan needed to step on the pressure plate, watch both axes at the same time, and somehow catch one in each hand without missing or getting chopped in half. The rest of the heroes go silent as Ronan walks forward to the plate. He stops at the edge, looking up at the axes as Crowry says,
"Really, Ronan? We can all jump over it. You don't have to do this."
"Don't worry,"
says Ronan with a smile.
"I got this."
Everyone holds their breath as Ronan steps forward onto the pressure plate. The two giant axes instantly release, swinging straight at the barbarian. He flings his hands out to meet them, and then he catches both giant axes with his bare hands. Against all odds, Ronan has successfully stopped both giant axes simultaneously without a scratch on him. The party erupts into cheers.
Oh, that was amazing.
Everyone then flies out of the dungeon, ducking under Ronan's arms that are effortlessly holding the deadly axes. Once everyone is out, Ronan takes a step towards the exit, out of the way of the axes. Then in one swift move, he releases them and dives out of the way, narrowly avoiding the blades. He catches up to the rest of the still very impressed party, and they all head out through the secret back door. So next time you find yourself stuck in a dungeon, trapped behind some giant axes, just remember Ronan and how incredibly lucky he got. Then go ahead and jump over that pressure plate so you don't get chopped in half trying Ronan's thing. The end. This story comes from Nathan in New Zealand. In this tale, we'll learn how sometimes you can do everything right and things still don't work out in the end. Some things are just unpredictable. But then, why else would you play a wild magic sorcerer? This is
Crabs, Grannies, and a Wild Magic Surge.
Once upon a time, there was a hero named Charlie who needed to get out of prison. Charlie was a former sewer worker who had just recently become a wild magic sorcerer. Then he got himself thrown in prison somehow. Could have been for anything from murder to littering. I don't actually know, but that's not important anyway. The important part is that he needed to get out, so Charlie started making friends. His first friend was a human fighter named One Leg. In case you couldn't guess, One Leg had only one leg. He worked as a guard for the prison doing the supply runs, and he and Charlie had formed an alliance. Together, the two had successfully secured alliances on the outside of the prison as well, one of which was a bird person named Kelly. Now, Charlie and One Leg were going to need some extra muscle to break out of the prison, and according to Kelly, she had found them some. Kelly had told the two heroes that there was a bugbear who would help them break out, but only on one condition. You see, this bugbear ran a fighting pit in the prison, and he would only help the heroes out if they fought in his fighting pit first.
I don't know, Kelly. What if we lose? We'll just be dead, and that's not helpful,
said Charlie.
No, don't worry,
whispered Kelly reassuringly through the bars of his cell window.
It's all non-lethal damage. No one is going to die, and worst case scenario, there'll be plenty of healers around to save you.
I don't know.
Look, do you want help getting out or not? Because this is the only way. You won't die, I promise. Just trust me.
Okay, fine. We'll fight in the pit. This bugbear guy better be worth it.
The next day, Charlie fills One Leg in on the plan, and he shares a few of the same concerns that Charlie did. Charlie reassures him that everything will be fine, Kelly says there's healers, blah blah blah, and eventually, One Leg also agrees to go into the fighting pit. Which brings us to now. Charlie and One Leg have arrived at the fighting pit, ready to give it their all. They stand behind the door, waiting for it to open. They watch the giant stone door slide up, and they hear someone making an announcement.
Our next fighters are entering the pit now. We have a prisoner and a prison guard. Do they have what it takes to defeat the current foe? Let's find out!
The two heroes step through the door into a large open pit. They're surrounded on all sides by onlookers who were cheering and yelling for the fight to come. They look around for their opponents and spot one of them lying on the ground. He was already unconscious from the last fight, which was great news for them. The other was a large crab person, standing off to the side. He stands there watching Charlie and One Leg for a moment, and Charlie sees his opportunity and attacks. He shoots a firebolt at the crab person, but misses. The crab man charges at Charlie and manages to get a good pinch in on Charlie's arm. One Leg swings his greatsword at the crab person and gets a critical hit, blinding the crab in the process. Then Charlie shoots off another firebolt that this time hits its target. And just like that, the fight was over. Charlie and One Leg breathe a sigh of relief over how easy the fight turned out to be. But that's when they notice the crowd. The crowd was clearly not entertained by the short battle, and were now demanding more.
Aw, come on!
Yells Charlie.
We beat that guy fair and square! That counts!
But apparently it doesn't count. Because before they know it, the door on the opposite side of the pit starts to slide open. The heroes prepare themselves to fight again, ready for bigger and stronger foes. They watch as the two new fighters step into the pit, and their anger quickly turns to confusion. Across the way, an elderly couple stands there holding swords.
These are our opponents? You want us to fight these old people? I can't attack a sweet old... Ah!
Just then, Charlie is cut off by the old people charging straight towards One Leg, swords at the ready. They both swing at an unbelievable speed, and One Leg is cut deeply. He swings back at them, but is unsteady on his foot after the attack and misses. Next, it's Charlie's turn. Having lost all his reservations about attacking his elders, Charlie sprints across the pit and positions himself at the perfect angle to hit both opponents with his Burning Hands spell. He holds his hand straight out in front of him as a solid sheet of flames shoots out from his fingertips directly at the elderly couple. And it hits hard. Super hard, actually. Charlie deals so much damage that with this one spell, both opponents instantly fall unconscious. But something else happens too. Charlie triggers a wild magic surge, which basically means he triggered a random magic effect or spell. And unfortunately for Charlie and One Leg, Charlie's wild magic conjures a fireball directly where he's standing. In an instant, Charlie explodes into a giant ball of flames, killing him and One Leg both. The explosion is so big and powerful that it also ignites the alcohol in a nearby bar, blowing that up as well and killing everyone inside. So in a matter of minutes, Charlie and One Leg's non-lethal, sure-thing fight ends with them both exploding and also killing a bunch of innocent people. The end. Thanks for listening. If you like D&D podcasts, which clearly you do, be sure to check out one of our favorites, All D20. You can find them on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen. To submit a fail, visit our website at bedtimefairyfails.com or message me on Instagram or Facebook. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook as Bedtime Fairy Fails.